The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa down in downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Plus, we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever, and I am here with my partner today, John Knight. How are you, brother?
Well, I woke up and I realized it's another great day to be alive, and just blessed to be alive. And just the times are exciting right now. I mean, sports are my politics is my sport, and it's an exciting year this year.
I have to say that John Knight, I've known him for quite a while, but he's an amazing young man. Was one of the original people on Sovereign Minds. Started a lot of things. A lot of people don't know John's background in the great research he does and the background that he's had in fighting for liberty for all of us. It's an amazing thing. It's good that there are some young people like yourself out there, John, that are ready to get the gloves on, you know. And sometimes both you and I ask each other, you know, did the fat lady already sing, or is the fat lady starting to sing? You know, is she warming up, you know? And today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to go into the races. And what we want to do is we want to hear from you guys or any of you candidates out there. The number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And our wonderful producer, Christina, how are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful, as always.
Good. She'll be answering the phone if you want to call in, because we want to talk about each one of these races. We want to hear what you have to say. Everybody seems to have candidates on all the time, but you never really hear what the people have to say. So I'm going to throw the candidates out there, and then we'll start this program going. And if you want to call in, great. Again, 530-605-4567. Well, in District 3, we have Wynn Carpenter running, Mary Rickert running, and Corky Harmon. In District 4, we have Matt Plummer and Patrick Jones. And in District 2, we have Alan Long, Laura Hobbs, Suzanne Barrymore, and Dan Sloan. Well, I want to start with District 4. Matt Plummer is running against the incumbent Patrick Jones. And what are some of the things that we're looking at, John, that we really want to see fixed? And, you know, Patrick Jones has been the incumbent, and I'm not really sure whether I, you know, what's your thought process on these two candidates?
I think, personally, I think Patrick Jones has been doing a great job. I don't always agree with him 100% of the time, but I don't just blindly follow anyone. But, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that I've seen that's done a better job in that position in just trying to be a true fiscal conservative, you know. So, I mean, I think he's doing absolutely a great job. I'm not in District 4, so I don't have a dog in that race, but you know, as far as Matt Plummer goes, I don't know, I guess he identifies as a conservative Republican, but him praising the World Economic Forum and being part of a company that was the Bridgeford group that was partners with Planned Parenthood, you know, there's some red flags that, you know, has kind of made me suspicious of him being, you know, a true conservative. So, there it is there. You know, I don't think that anybody could do a better job than Patrick personally.
Well, you know, I think that what happens a lot of times with these candidates, especially if you have somebody like Patrick Jones, is a good example of this. I mean, a lot of people, in fact, one of the ads I heard said that Patrick, for the last 11 years, hasn't changed anything and it's just gotten worse. Well, he's only been a supervisor for less than one term. And so I'm trying to figure out some of these facts that even if, and I don't really want to jump around on this too much, but really when you talk about what's going on with Kevin Cry in District 1, a lot of the facts out there are skewed on all these people. So I want to move over to District 2, because I think that's one that really has, that has a lot of impact in Reading. We have Alan Long, who is was a police lieutenant. We have Laura Hobbs, who's a stay-at-home mom and has a doctorate. And we have Suzanne Barrymore, and I'm not really sure what kind of work she does, but I think she works somewhere in the school system, I believe. And then we have Dan Sloan, who is the chairman of the Republican Central Committee. There's been a lot of talk on all these different candidates, and, you know, I think that one question I would have for any candidate in District 2 is, you know, what are you going to do about the Igo Ono area? I mean, they have, their roads are terrible. There's a lot of things up there that are happening with those folks. The water's an issue. You know, we did have in the Zog fire a lot of that money that was given to the Children's Legacy Center. You know, and what do you think about that? I mean, what do you think about as far as the Children's Legacy Center and what, 15% of the money going there? What did that have to do with the Zog fire?
You know, I think what's been going on is just a lot of people haven't been paying attention to where money goes and what politicians are doing. So people in those positions just do whatever they want. I think there's a conflict of interest with the Children's Legacy Center or Foundation. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure.
Children's Legacy
Center, I think it is.
Center. You know, I looked up a lot of the people who were on the board of those of that, and I believe Bill Johnson's wife was the president, if I'm saying the right term, Bill Johnson from Bethel, and then there was a lot of, you know, I know Aaron Reznor was on there, and then I know that, what's the, our, sorry, sorry,
The DA,
yes. Sorry, Stephanie Bridget. I was pulling, oh my gosh, I can remember her name. Stephanie Bridget, yeah. I believe, who was part of allocating that money over there is also on the board. So it was kind of interesting to me that the it seemed like the same people were involved in pushing the money over there that were part of that foundation. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is amazing when you stop and think that she was the one who delegated the money. You know, and again, I've never really heard an explanation. I mean, maybe somebody has it. They can call it in. Maybe somebody does. Talking about calling in, we have Laura Hobbs on the line. She's running for District 2 in Shasta County. Laura, how are you?
Hello. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Well, what's on your mind?
Well, I did speak to the citizens of Igo Ono just recently, and they gave me a big list of things that they could use in their community.
Mm-hmm.
They need fire hydrants. They need wider roads so that fire personnel and big engines and trucks can make it up there in cases of emergency. And a lot of their roads were damaged actually by the fire, and they want those roads rebuilt. They don't even have a replacement on their community sign yet. That, you know, says Igo population, whatever. And they're having a really hard time getting any of those things. They only got $200,000 out of this $50 million settlement. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so why didn't all of that money go to the community from where that happened? I mean, it's kind of interesting to me.
Unbelievable.
I think it could have all gone to them, and I don't like the way that Stephanie Bridget, the DA, was distributing it to pretty much everywhere except for them. Even places that had already been reimbursed by PG&E directly got money, and the citizens of Igo Ono were not consulted in any way about how they wanted that money distributed. She refused to meet with them, and when she finally did, she wouldn't let them record it, so they walked out. Because people have been telling them all kinds of different stories and lies, and they have no way to verify the truth from the lies. So it's just it's a terrible injustice.
What would you do as a supervisor to improve their situation? I think one thing I do have to say, I've interviewed a lot of people, and I have to say, Laura, that when I did interview you, the thing I found impressive, each time I send out usually a text out to everybody who comes on the program that's running for office, and I ask them the three things that they want to, the three things that they want to talk about that's within the jurisdiction of what office they're running for. And one candidate even told me that I have to go back and look at my statement. It's like, you can't remember? And I was very impressed because most candidates, we have to work around their jurisdiction on things. I had one candidate call in from your district that talked about the schools, wanted to talk about schools, and I reminded that person that the Board of Supervisors doesn't have jurisdiction over the schools. What is it in your wheelhouse that you're running for? You can tell the folks that you do. And I remember you sending me back a list of eight things, and every one of those things had to do with your jurisdiction as a supervisor. So are you seeing this thing in Igo Obono as being maybe your number one thing that you'd want to do in the county?
Well, it's certainly up in the top three because fighting for the citizens of Shasta County is the job of a Board of Supervisors. And we need someone in there that is going to stand up and fight for people in our district and for the whole county. The other one major thing is the elections. We need to have free and fair elections. We need to know that our votes were counted accurately. So that's a huge issue, in my opinion. And what happened in the Acid Canal when it went dry, that's another prime example in 2022.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's another example of how the citizens were not treated properly, and I would not stand for that. I would do everything within my power as a Board of Supervisor to prevent those things from happening in the future and to right the wrongs. So if it means filing lawsuits to rectify the situation, that's what I would recommend.
Well, Laura, first of all, it's Laura Hobbs. She's running for District 2, and thank you for calling in. That was great stuff. And again, you know, I love it when candidates call in and they actually get to the point. And so thank you very much for that. Have a great day. And, Laura, thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, if there's another candidate that'd like to call in and give us maybe the one thing or a couple of things they'd like to do or they believe that they'd want to do for the county, that'd be great. So people, that's what we want to do is hear from the people, too. We want to see what you guys think of these candidates. That's why I had John in. John is not one of the regular hosts. In my opinion, probably the greatest young patriot in the state, but that's my opinion. I'm prejudiced, I guess. But anyway, we'd like to hear from you. John, did you have any thoughts?
I think election integrity and the Acid Canal are two other major issues, absolutely. I think that was very, very important to focus on those because, in my opinion, the number one most important issue is voter integrity, because if we can't vote people in, if we don't have an election integrity and we have selected people representing us versus elected, you know, and the trust is gone. So I think that voter trust needs to be restored, and I think that's a huge issue. And then with the Acid Canal, we had people who, they had trees dying that have been growing for, you know, hundreds of years because the water table is affected by, it's not just what gets directly irrigated out of the Acid Canal, but it also brings the water table up in those areas. So I think I thought those were great issues.
It's a great issue. We have a caller on the line. Dick, what say you, sir?
Morning, Terry. Say, you know, there's a local website called Bonneview Neighborhood, and recently on there's been an article by a person that this person also gets up at this Board of Supervisors and speaks, and I call him part of the loony left. But anyway, he stated that people who are against the recall of Kevin Cry have been stating that if he gets recalled, the governor is going to appoint a new person for that. And he said that's an absolute lie, that people are trying to scare you. Now, I thought someone read once where it said he must appoint it. Now, is there a way you can clarify that or get the statute, the new law that Ricky says? Because there's arguments both ways. Some people say he's going to appoint, and somebody says that's not a lie. That's a lie. He's not going to appoint.
Yeah. So government code 25060. Government code 25060 says governor shall appoint when there is a vacancy on the Board of Supervisors. But from what I understand is I think that he can choose to use that power when he wants to, so it doesn't mean that he absolutely will. But So I was actually reading the Record Searchlight this morning, Redding.com or whatnot, and that David Benda guy, he's not biased at all, but it's basically it's an article about Kevin Cry, and it says, but will Newsom make an appointment to fill Cry's seat if voters approve the recall? And then it says, he has appointed numerous supervisors up and down the state, all Democrats. This is Kevin Cry's quote, by the way. He even replaced a Republican seat with a Democrat in Del Norte County. Of course, he's going to appoint a Democrat to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, Cry said. But Gorder said this group sent the governor a letter asking him to stay out of our county and let the voters elect a Cry replacement in November. And so this is Gorder again. This is one of the bigger red herrings in the entire effort. He, Cry, has no idea what the governor will do. In fact, so he says he has no idea what the governor will do. In fact, the governor did not appoint a replacement in Glenn or Modoc. The bottom line to this issue is that voters will decide on a new supervisor to fill out the remainder of Cry's term in the upcoming. So he goes to say, we don't know what the governor's going to do, but then he says, absolutely, we are going to be the ones, the people are going to pick the replacement. And they've been outright lying the whole time.
Who is this person that is?
Gorder.
Okay.
So this is a quote in Redding.com. So he says that Kevin Cry doesn't know what the governor's going to do, but then he assures everyone that guaranteed the people will get to replace it, Kevin Cry in November.
Yeah, the people who are for the recall, they're putting this out that the governor not going to do it, and saying it's kind of a lie that the people who are against the recall are lying about that. But evidently, the statute says he must appoint.
He shall. Yeah, you know, I think that's true. I mean, you know, the thing is that a lot of people. You know, I mean, it was said at the Board of Supervisors, and it's on record that it was said at the Board of Supervisors, and the quote really was, is we want to recall you, Kevin, because we know we can't get Patrick out, we know we can't get Chris out, so we're going to recall you, so there's no 3-2 anymore. I mean, that was, it isn't a mystery or any, it isn't rocket science why they want to go after Kevin and why they did, you know, and a lot of things happen when you're in office and, you know, you've just gotten into office, nobody's perfect in that regard, but some of the things they've accused him of are hearsay. You know, and I wanted to bring that up real quick. Thank you, Dick, for your call. But do you have anything else, by the way?
No, that's it. I just, anything that comes from a loony left, I kind of have doubts about it.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
All right, brother. So, you know, when you look at this, you know, you look at these different things that are happening. There are some things that are being said about candidates, okay? And people are saying, well, you know, that's slander, blah, blah. Well, here's the deal. The deal is if you are a candidate and you are running for office, you are an open book, okay? And if somebody has something that's substantiated even by the press, even by a newspaper article, even by public record, anything like that, you know, you just got to buck up. It's a tough gig. But if you have something that's conjecture, like some of the things that were written in that News Cafe article about Kevin were basically conjecture. They were sort of like, he said, she said, well, who said it? Well, they don't want to expose themselves. They don't want to say who they are. But again, that isn't something that's substantial that you can use like you can on anything that's, that has public record to it or even, you know, criminal record to it. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, if a guy was running for office and he robbed a convenience store and got convicted of that, you can find that out. I'm not saying that any of them did, but that's an analogy. What do you think, John?
Well, I'd like to focus on the Newsom replacing the vacancy on the Board of Supervisors because when Modi was recalled, that government code was made directly as a knee-jerk reaction to what we were doing here in Shasta.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't think they would have all of a sudden came out with that government code right after a supervisor was recalled in Shasta County as the power shifted in the supervisors as a quorum being more patriotic. But then you look at AB 969, you know, that was directly right. In fact, it talked about Shasta County directly and an upcoming election that we had AB 969, after our board of supervisors that represent us voted to go to hand counting and get rid of the machines, which that is going to cost us millions of dollars and 1,300 more people. So that's one extra poll work, all based on lies, because if you do the math on how many people vote, 1,300 people extra on top, that'd be one more poll worker for every 53 people that vote, millions of dollars. Hand counting can actually be cheaper, but they wouldn't have came out. And the Secretary of State came up here and said that Mary Rickard asked her, what would be the error rate on hand counting? And she says, well, anywhere from 1 to 25%. All this stuff is just made up.
It is but made up.
They wouldn't have, I mean, so they directly came out with AB 969 right after that. So if you think that they're making these laws and codes and executive orders based on what knee-jerk reaction to what we're doing here in Shasta, you don't think they're going to exercise those powers, then you're freaking smoking something good.
Andrew from Bernie, how are you, sir?
Well, John just made my point. You know, in regards to this new statute or law they made about replacing supervisors, shall, that wasn't in the books before. So the fact that Newsom, you know, did replace some is a moot point, because now it says shall. That means will do. John, you made my point. I shouldn't have come on now. I couldn't just, you know, hang there and you know, just hang up. That's my point. It's now law. He will do it. Make no mistake about it. And I live in District 3. The only two good things that Mary Rickard has done, in my opinion, is the time when we voted not to make Shasta County Sanctuary County, and then she voted against the windmills. But other than that, I do not support her.
Well, you have two other candidates, so you have Wynn Carpenter, and you have Porky Harmon.
Wynn's my guy. I have a sign in my yard.
Okay.
And I got it at Patrick Jones' shop. Uh-oh. Anyway, thank you so much.
Andrew, thank you, brother. Okay, so something that I wanted to bring up too, and we love hearing from you guys. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Love hearing from you, because again, we want to hear what the folks think. This is very good. A lot of times, again, we have the candidates come on. If you have something that you want to share or something you think about any of these districts, let us know. District 3, Mary Rickert, Wynn Carpenter, and Corky Harmon. Last week, I had Corky on with Wynn, and we had a discussion. I would recommend anybody in District 3, everybody in District 3, should listen to that, interview of the two of them. I had them both in here. It was a very civil interview. But in a lot of cases, we have to understand that people who are getting a job like this as a supervisor, it can't be on the job training. Okay, you got to have some kind of background. You have to have some kind of basis of understanding what it is your job description is. I mean, how many people want, they need brain surgery, you don't want a plumber to do it. Okay, so you kind of understand, right? Okay, so you got to understand, we have to start growing up on this stuff. Well, I think I can remember a candidate who ran for city council and said, well, I'm new at this, but I'm willing to learn on the job. Well, you're making decisions that you better be ahead of. Gary Catt, I think, went to the city council meetings, I think, for 4 years before he decided to run. I mean, and really that's what it takes. And I can say this because I know Wynn Carpenter has been going for years and years to the Board of Supervisor meeting to learn how it works. He knows all the different ins and outs of that. And I'm not, this isn't really a plug. What it is, it's a fact. If you aren't going to those supervisor meetings, I mean, Mary's been in there. Corky Harmon, I don't know. He's told me he's been to a couple. But again, it's sort of like, well, you know, one other thing I want to say really quickly before the break, and that is, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, this guy's a nice guy. He's really a nice guy. He's really a good guy. He's a nice guy. He's really a nice guy. Did I say he was a nice guy? Okay, the problem is that that's fine. I'm glad everybody's a nice guy. But what the hell is he going to do as far as helping this county? And we're going to have to go off to our first break. John and I are both hoping that the fat lady isn't warming up for our county or the United States. So right now we're going to take our break, and time has come for 51. Let's get it done. Okay.
I'll get it.
Yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine. When I'm near a girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. know what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano and it's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree.
Of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the post office saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The Shasta County Republican Assembly is proud to announce the following endorsements for the upcoming Shasta County Board of Supervisors elections. For District 2, the SCRA endorses Laura Hobbs. In District 3, Wynn Carpenter. In District 4, Patrick Henry Jones. We believe these fine candidates will best represent the values and policy priorities of Shasta County voters who align with the Republican Party platform and principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberty. The SCRA also strongly urges voters in District 1 to vote no on recalling the sitting supervisor, Kevin Cry. We stand firmly behind Supervisor Cry and call on District 1 residents to reject this unnecessary and disruptive recall effort. Together, we can ensure sensible, conservative leadership on the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. This ad is paid for by the Republican Citizens Advisory Committee.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Stand up for your rights. Terry Raposa back with John Knight here on Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. The phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. If you want to call in, we're talking about all things supervisors, all things candidates. And I'm here with John Knight. And, John, you have something there, buddy. What is it?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to clarify something. When I was talking about the Children's Legacy Foundation or Center, Children's Legacy Center, it was Kimberly Johnson was married to Bob Johnson, which is Bill Johnson's brother. I just wanted to clarify that. I was speaking off the cuff and just wanted to correct myself.
Well, you know, again, you know, as we look at something like and getting back to District 3, there's a lot of issues out there in District 3. The Fountain Wind Project's maybe the biggest one out there, and how the state is overreaching again. You know, the state is saying, okay, you the people of Shasta County want this, your Board of Supervisors has voted for this, everybody's on board with this, heck, Cal Fire's on board with this, they don't want the Fountain Wind Project, and the state just says, nah, we're going to do it anyway. And, you know, I think that, I think at this point, that all three candidates, Rickert, Carpenter, and Carmen, all agree that that's not a good thing. Now, there has been some things said out there that, and I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe somebody can substantiate this. But there has been some things that Corky Harmon did, in fact, at first was in favor of the Fountain Wind Project. I don't know if that's true or not. There were people who said that they talked to him about it, and then when he was on the program last week, you can hear that exchange. If you go to KCNR, you go to Jefferson State of Mind, and go to last week's program, you can hear his response to that. But, I mean, you kind of wonder about what people's motivations are even to run for something. And I think that's been the main thing. That's what I'd like to hear from some of these candidates. Why are you running? You know, why are you doing this? I mean, why are you doing this? And I think that, you know Kevin Cry pretty well. John.
Yes.
So you've probably talked to Kevin about this. What was his reasoning for even running in the first place?
There was people bugging him to do it, you know, and I think that he was just, you know, he never paid attention to politics, but once the COVID started happening and they were forcing kids to wear masks and he saw his representative not doing anything about it, and he saw other people not doing anything and just going, well, there's nothing we can do. The state tells us what to do. And I think he just was disgusted with that. And so I think it was a combination of him just feeling like there was no representation that represented the people and nobody willing to stand up to the state and the feds. And, you know, and that with a combination of people saying, hey, man, you should run. He went up there and he gave a great speech at the Board of Supervisors, just speaking from the heart. And there was a few members of the community that just really started bugging him and saying, hey, man, you should run. And he just says, well, and just jumped in head first.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of it, you know, when you stop and think about what's going on with the children, for example, I think that's been, you know, I think that that's really been an issue that's the big issue. I mean, the school systems, all that good stuff. And I get that. I think the thing we have to look at, and we really can't involve the supervisors in that. They really don't have jurisdiction, but they do have a voice in the community. And, they can use that bully pulpit for a voice. But really and truly, you hit the nail on the head, John, when you said the supervisors are saying it's all up to the state, it's all up to the state. Well, as we have become educated on local politics and local jurisdiction, we have found out that the Board of Supervisors has more jurisdiction over your life here in Shasta County than the governor or the state, or frankly, the president. And so a lot of people are now finding out it's sort of like they'd say it wasn't our job, it wasn't within our jurisdiction, blah, 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 blah. Mary Rickert gave a good example of that the last board meeting when she said, you know, they're talking about all this stuff about the Constitution and da da da. Why are they bringing that up? And Patrick Jones had a reminder because you took an oath to it. The only purpose for government is to protect the rights of the sovereign. That's their only role. That's what the first thing you do is take an oath in Article 20 of the California Constitution about, hey, you know, I'm going to protect the rights of the sovereign. I'm going to follow the Constitution and of the United States and the state of California. And really, that's so true, John. They have so much more power, and they control the budget. I mean, there's a lot of people that never knew that they had a lot to do with the sheriff's budget or the DA's budget or, frankly, the ROV office.
I think people are starting to rediscover that were designed as a bottom-up government.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a reason the founding fathers created this wonderful country for the first time ever to have the power in the people and not some dictator, you know, from the state or from the president. And in reality is we should be able to stop dead in their tracks anything that comes down from this. Is not top down. This is bottom up. And so I think we're in a power struggle right now where, you know, it's time to get off the sidelines and get in the fight right now. Because I don't think it's past midnight yet, or I don't think the fat lady has sung yet, but I don't know how much further how much more rights can we give up for a false sense of security, you know, before it's too late, you know, it'll, who knows? It could be 1,000 years before we have another chance. Of where we're at right now. I mean, we're kind of at I used to say a Y in the road, but I feel like we're at a T in the road. I feel like it's going to go one way or the other.
Yeah, good point. Really good point. You know, when you look at this, the fat lady may not be singing, but she might be drinking that honey water and having that shot of bourbon before she gets up there and stretches those vocal cords. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we can take back our country. I think there's a lot of apathy out there. I think these three races are extremely important. We do know that if something happens in the Kevin Cry situation, that the governor will appoint. I mean, that's my opinion too. And, it's my right to have my opinion, as it is your right, John. I think we both agree on that we believe that Newsom would appoint. Why wouldn't he? Okay. Unless he's assured that the people who are on the left are going to get their person, then there may be something where he doesn't appoint. However, when you look at this thing and he does appoint, what do we do then? The thing is that we're looking at the most important races right now that we have is District 2 and District 3, I think, as far as the new people. Those are the two that might be the most important as far as the new people go. Hopefully, we'll be able to see some movement in March in the primary, and we know we'll have at least a decision made in the primary with District 4. And I believe we have a caller on the line. We do. We have Richard on the line. How are you, Stones?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, there was a delay. Sorry, guys. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I just have one quick comment. I have a government document in front of me. Remember how Kevin was criticized for moving into District 1 so that he could run for District 1? Well, Suzanne Bamore did the same. I'm looking at a government document on early November of 2023. She had an address change, and her voter status changed also due to the address change. So I'm just wondering why nobody's, why are these hypocrites not criticizing Suzanne for that? So, hey, you guys have a good day. I'm out of here.
No. I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, on that. Okay. What district did Suzanne Barrymore move from? Because apparently she had to re-register in the new district. Where did she move from?
I don't have that in front of me at the moment. She was elsewhere in the county, but absolutely moved into district. What is that? 2, I believe.
Yeah, 2. So she wasn't into it. She wasn't into. Okay, great.
Correct. Yeah, and I'm just wondering why she's not being criticized for that. Just asking.
I think you just did.
Well, I'm talking about by the establishment rhino leftards. Why are they not criticizing her when they did Kevin?
I think A News Cafe is writing an article about it right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just want to make sure it's okay to move into a district to run for office. That's all. Thanks, guys.
All right. We have Mary on the line. Mary, how are you? What say you? Okay. It may not be Mary. Who is the caller?
This is Mary.
Okay. Well, I was just waiting to see if Mary was going to answer. Mary Rickard.
Good morning.
Hi.
So I am in Turncoat Garments District.
Okay. So you're not Mary Rickard.
We're in Garments District.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we voted for Laura Hobbs.
Okay.
And we really like her common sense approach.
Okay.
Feel like she's got backbone and don't even know her or anything, but I don't want anybody that has, like Garmin, he was in government. He was in school government, and anybody that seems to be in government, I come from a private business background, I just feel like they just have been brainwashed or something. I don't know what's wrong with them, but I'm for that, and I don't support the jail, the agenda that everybody wants to pay for the taxpayers to buy a new jail when they're not even putting anybody in jail. And we've got this big fancy courthouse to prosecute who?
Uh-huh.
Everybody, nobody's even getting prosecuted for these crimes. I watch these meetings online. They have totally turned into nobody coming up talking about their problem with their land or anything like that. It's all they do is come and talk about the Kevin Cry, and they identify themselves as fiscal conservatives when they approach the microphone, which is hilarious.
Well, Mary, you know that you can identify however you want now.
You can.
They're about to put kitty litters in the school if you identify as a cat.
I know. They already have. And that's the problem with what's going on. There's so many problems out here in the real world. And it's frustrating that they want to take hundreds of millions of dollars to buy this jail. And they did that with the courthouse. It took 5 years. How many? $300 million to build? A big fancy courthouse? I mean, this is crazy. And I feel like, yes, Patrick Jones is a conservative. I do like Patrick Jones. I do like Chris Kellstrom, who has said 10 words on the desk. But I wish Chris Kellstrom's, his platform would come up. He wanted people about permits and things like that. That's nowhere. Nobody's even talking about real life issues out here about people's property and what we have to deal with permits and all the real stuff is all recall Kevin Cross.
Right, Mary? You know, did you hear the beginning of the program? Laura Hobbs called in.
Yes, I heard her.
And I was very impressed because, again, I've been, and I'm just saying this, I've interviewed a lot of people, a lot of candidates. I think, I don't even know if I've ever heard another candidate be, have the specificity of what her job will be if she's elected, or his job would be if he was elected. I have never heard as good of specificity of understanding what it is I'm doing, what I can do, what my jurisdiction is than I have from Laura Hobbs. I mean, I'm really impressed.
And I like Laura Hobbs.
I'm very impressed. She did talk about your district, though. She did talk about...
I know.
And I thought that was amazing. I love hearing that from candidates. And frankly, I've asked some... If you go back and listen to our program from last week...
I do, every day, every Sunday.
Oh,
Gary.
My gosh. I mean, you know...
Corky, you know... I think Corky's a good guy. I know Corky.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
You know, he's a good guy. But, I mean, Wynn Carpenter, I mean, and I'm not saying, I just want people with a backbone. I'll take a plumber any day that's made a payroll.
Well, Mary, you've got to...
I know John makes a payroll, and I've made a payroll for a long, long time. And it takes a different type of person, and the person has to have some common sense because they're dealing with the regulations that our government has pressed upon us.
Yes, ma'am. We've got to take another caller. Thank you, Mary, so much for the call.
Thanks, Mary.
Have a wonderful day, and let's go over to Jeff. Jeff, are you there, sir? Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing good.
Good. I'm glad you got John Knight on there. We got a actual patriot in there. It doesn't flip-flop depending on what someone says by each day. Good to hear that.
Yep. I agree.
Hey, so I'm touching on what Mary had to say. You know, the funny thing in the politics, and this is why people like me are getting sick and tired of the crap in Shasta County, is we have people who will back up a candidate, they'll praise that candidate, they'll poo on another candidate just because the candidate they're going for said something really cool at one meeting or he did one good thing. I mean, look at Tim Garman, for example. I mean, that's the problem with conservatives. They're so fly by night. And when I say conservatives, I mean, I would call them Republicans. I consider myself a far right conservative. I'm not into this little, I wear American flag and wave it around and gonna cha cha cha. But, people need to realize the right hand and the left hand are all connected to the same body. When we think we're getting something good, we're not. Where we have to go is we have to start thinking about limiting government. We have to start thinking about having less government. I mean, look at our spend. We have over, 200 and something employees in Shasta County, and their pay ranges range from $32,000 a year to, $419,000 a year?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the problem with this whole
thing. And they retire on 90% of that.
Exactly. It's, you know, full benefits, everything else. It's how we're doing it. It's, we have to, I mean, I get taxed out the ears with my business and with my career. And it's, I look at it and I'm like, wow, at what point, like, is this whole thing, when's the teeter totter finally going to break from one side?
You know, we have a lot of fun with, Christina. She's really good with her names here because this sounds like somebody different than Jeff anyway. So,
no, this is Jesse Lane.
That's what I thought. Right? You know, John and I were both laughing because she wrote Jeff on that. Okay, so you got to understand, Christina's awesome. I love her to pieces. But we get names in here that are absolutely wonderful. So it's sort of.
You know, a lot of times people put me as Jeffy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jeffy? I'm
yeah.
Like, ah, that was a guy off the movie The Ringer.
It would be amazing if government was run like a business, wouldn't it,
yeah.
Jesse? I mean, you could look at things like RABA. I looked at their stuff up, and it seemed like they were subsidized about 92%. And now I guess the new numbers, when I heard from another supervisor, was they bring in 5 cents for every dollar they spend. You see these, but now they're buying electric buses that cost $3+ million. And you look at what other – I mean, it's just like they are not running, a lot of things are not ran like a business.
Yeah, and that's, John, if you and I business did the same thing, I mean, we'd be mortgaging off our houses and properties and getting rid of everything. I mean, we'd be in the world hurt. But government, they figure they have endless pockets.
Yeah, you know something? I got to say something about my friend here, Jesse Lane. Jesse has, for you people who want to be sophisticated, Jesse has testicular fortitude. That means stones. Jesse is, he's the real deal. I love you, kid. Anyway, we've got to go to another caller. So thank you, Jesse.
Hey,
have a great day.
Have a good one, guys, and keep fighting a good fight.
You bet. Jason, is this Mr. Miller? Jason, are you there?
I'm here, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we're wondering if the fat lady's beginning to sing or not here, but we're talking about these supervisors, you know.
Yeah, I got a few things.
Oh, good. Go for it.
Yeah. Yes, I'm here, guys. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have your radio on?
I do. I'm walking away from it.
Okay, good, because you're kind of...
Got it.
Okay, you ready? Okay, yeah. Shoot away, brother.
Yeah.
Shoot away.
So I just wanted to call up and say a few things. You guys touched on a few things that are really important to me, too. You know I'm kind of the liaison of the homeless and crime right now.
Yep.
And I want to say something about Kevin Cry. You know, Kevin, not knowing him at all, he was the very first person to call me when it went down, when I was, like, really frustrated with it. Kevin was the first one to call me. Since that day, he's answered his phone every time I've called, and everything we've done it together. But here's what I appreciate about Kevin, and here's what I'm looking at these candidates you guys are talking about. Kevin talks to me like a real person, not a politician.
Uh-huh.
Not a politician. He's a real person, real business owner, just like John. John and I have had extensive talks. We don't talk politics. We actually talk about what's really affecting us, the real human side of it, not the political side of it.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. I mean, you've gone through hell over there, brother. You know, this stuff. And, you know, frankly, let's just say it. I mean, they said it on the previous program. They're right. The cops aren't doing anything. They're just
The cops show up. The cops show up, and they do what they do. But
I know, but the thing is that at what point do we look for self-help here? I'm just throwing that out there because I think everybody's kind of tired of this crap.
Yeah,
and
I think the police's hands are tied sometimes.
Sometimes.
You know, because they arrest people. I'll give you a short. And Jason, I miss you, man. As being my neighbor there, we miss going and getting lunch for you, buddy. Which neighborhood was worse?
You know where I'm at now.
Yeah. Okay.
That's saying something.
So check this.
When I started there, everybody told me it was Mini Richmond. That's what they would call that area over there. And I started over there, and I have my three windows broken out my first year, my location. More stuff that's disgusting I won't even say on the radio that's happened in front of my location. You know, the cops are frustrated as I am.
Well, you know, we had a broken window here. It took them 5 hours to get here.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a really short story. So there was this gentleman's van broke down in my parking lot. They went to go get some tacos. Van broke down. They said, hey, can I leave my van here until later? I'm going to come back and fix it. And I said, well, I wouldn't leave it here too late because it will probably get broken into. Well, he came back, tried to fix it before we even closed, and he couldn't get it fixed, so he left it there. We came back the next morning. Window was bashed in. So they came in, popped the hood. They stole everything out of the van. They stole batteries and parts out of the van. And then I went back on my cameras and identified the vehicle. And I showed one of my coworkers, and he looked at it, and he goes, I saw that truck down the road working on some other vehicle. So they were literally taking the stolen parts and the batteries and putting it in another vehicle a couple blocks down the road. And so we actually called the cops. They looked at the video and the pictures and everything, and they go, oh, man, this is going to be this guy's third strike, and he's going to go down. And finally, because they've been, like, trying to get – this guy's been ripping people off all over the place, and they said, he's going to prison. It's third strike. And they arrest him. And the next morning, I see him walking down the street.
Oh, man.
And I couldn't believe it. And I go, it's just, and I know that the cops definitely were, they were excited. They're like, he's going down.
Finally got one.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm at right now is I've exposed the homeless, but I haven't, and I'm going to start doing it. I'm documenting stuff closely right now, you guys. The city of Reading, the people, do not know how bad it really is. If they really knew how bad it was day to day, what I deal with, John, what you deal with, Terry, what you dealt with down there, downtown, I've been at the studios and heard the stories about the homeless down there. it's bad. And I want the people to know it's bad so they can listen to the politicians that are in right now that are going to take some kind of stance towards protecting our businesses, our value of our business, the value of our property. It's getting, I told you guys before, I left Portland for this reason. I'll be damned if I'm going to let Reading turn into Portland.
Yes, sir. We're going to have to leave it there, my good friend, because we've got Debbie on
Thank
the line.
You.
But I do want to talk to you more, and next week I'd love for you to call in or, you know, we'll talk during the week. I'd like to do a podcast with you, frankly. I think John and I'd like to do a podcast with you. Anyway, thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Jason.
For hanging tough, man.
Yeah.
Jason Miller,
thanks,
Lucky's, get a good sandwich there. Okay. We have Debbie on the line. Debbie, that's what it says on my board. Is this Debbie?
Yes, this is Debbie. How are you?
Well, no one's hurt me yet.
Okay. Am I on the air?
You are. You've been on the air. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. I'm a retired school teacher. I moved to Reading in 2000, and I can't believe what's happening to the city.
Yes,
I listen to your show every weekend, and it's just the injustice of the whole, you know, law enforcement system. The whole city, and it seems like the whole country, is falling to pieces. So with that, I wanted to mention that my grandson has been with the RPD for 3 years, and he tells me stories. He says, Grandma, we arrest these people, and I'm not even done making the report, and 2 hours later, they are back on the streets. So I have one final suggestion, and it would be to retrofit the old county courthouse, which is across from the new courthouse. Instead of spending millions of dollars to build something new, turn that into the jail, since it's next to the current jail. Gut it out, turn it into a jail, and the policemen would not have to drive somewhere else to take their people that they arrest someplace far, far away.
Well, I think that the new jail is going to be downtown. But yeah, you're right, Debbie, you're right. And you know, I didn't mean to sound like I was bashing the rank and file, but I think a lot of it is, especially the newer policemen, these young kids come in, they want to try to do the right job, they want to try to do the right thing, but, you know, these guys have been on the force for a while. You know, all these guys have to get together and say, you know what, we're going to follow the Constitution no matter what. And I think that that's been something to where I know they don't even teach that anymore in the academy. They don't even teach the Constitution. So how can you take an oath to that when you've never read it or you don't understand it? And so, again, the thing is that we have to start we always say we're we the people. Well, we have to start acting like it. I believe every law-abiding citizen should be able to carry a firearm. And they don't need the permission from their sheriff. I don't think they need the permission.
Agree.
And when I've talked to some of these young officers especially, I've talked to a few young ones in Anderson, and they've said, hey, if I saw a guy with open carry, at least I know he was a good guy because he wouldn't, he's not hiding the weapon, right? I mean,
that's right.
You know, remember.
Well, we have to figure out a way to protect ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
In this world now. And as I say, when I moved here in 2000, 24 years ago, there wasn't one tent on the street.
Yes, ma'am.
We need to enforce the loitering laws and try to, I don't know, the whole world. I'm glad I'm retired. I don't know what I could do in a classroom when somebody said to use such and such a pronoun. I would probably faint.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you do have a voice, and you have a great voice, and I really love you calling in, Debbie. I think that people like you, you know, that are willing to stand up, and that was a great call. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. So, John, we got about a minute and a half left here, buddy, and final thoughts on your part.
Well, I'd be curious to see if there's any profiteering or money being made off of this homeless problem. You know, I haven't done a lot of deep research on this, but you know, I've had a few people tell me that there is money being made off of this situation, and I know we're kind of a dumping grounds for some of the prisons, or the rates of pedophiles we have that are dropped off here from other counties. I'm not an expert at that, but I think that's a conversation to be had.
That's a great point. So, anyway, folks, we've got to start holding the line here, you know, and John and I think, are going to be doing a podcast here soon with Woody Clendenin and with Carlos Zapata, and we'll be doing it with Lonnie Bengay, and we'll be talking about, is the fat lady warming up? She already sung, and how do we get her to prolong the song? Time has come
for 51.
Let's get it done.
Jefferson State of Mind. To you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.